Okay, we're once again on the threshold of a new year. As we turn the last few pages on 2023, we perhaps look forward to a new book, a clean slate, new opportunities, new challenges. The word new almost always has a positive association. I love to preach about new things, new starts, and so forth, because it implies opportunity, improvement, hope, change for the better, and so forth. That being said, however, in a different sense, new is not always better. It all depends on what that new thing is, who came up with it, what is replacing the old, and why. In our text this morning, there is a great caution against assuming new is better. Would you follow along in your Bible as I read for us then Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Implied in this verse and supported by other scripture is the fact that you are in a great spiritual danger when you stray from the old paths and move ancient boundaries when God put them there in the first place for your protection and blessing. Consider with me then the danger of straying from the old paths and moving the old boundaries. First of all, don't forget the old paths. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 13 through 15. I'll give you a minute to flip over several pages to get to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask now among the nations, whoever heard the like of this? The virgin of Israel has done a most appalling thing. Does the snow of Lebanon forsake the rock of the open country? Or is the cold flowing water from a foreign land ever snatched away? For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. These ancient paths, which Jeremiah refers to, were clearly a metaphor for commandments and instructions given by God, not man. Watch out for new doctrines or radical interpretations of Scripture. All too often, new doctrines, new teachings, or radical interpretations are simply Satan's lies repackaged to deceive those who don't know God's word well and who are looking for an excuse to disobey God. Wow, I could spend probably half an hour on just this alone this morning, but I think you can think even right now in your minds of things that have been brought into the forefront of everyone's conversation and thinking on news media and so forth, changing what God's word says and making it say something it does not say. Forgetting is the first step toward not caring about God's ways and not staying on his paths. Don't forget the old paths. When you forget what God's word says, then you quit caring about what God says. Secondly, don't move the ancient boundary. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. In fact, we'll also look at another verse in Proverbs. So Proverbs 22, verse 28. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. Then the next chapter, Proverbs 23, verse 10. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless. In the immediate context of these two verses, it refers to the property markers that indicated where God had assigned property to every member of the nation of Israel. It not only served an immediate purpose of protecting the property and inheritance which God had given to his people, But it also serves to illustrate a scriptural principle that teaches us to treat seriously the boundaries God has set for us in every area of our lives. Notice that these boundaries are ancient. That is, they are historical and recognized by many generations. Since you and I could care less about actual boundary markers located in the land of Israel, you and I realize that these ancient boundaries are a picture that helps us understand the biblical principle that we need to recognize spiritual, ethical, and moral boundaries that Scripture teaches us about, sometimes in specific applications, but in the vast majority of times in principial form, principles. This is why the Bible is timeless in its teaching. When we talk about smoking is not good for you, we can't find a Bible verse that says, do not smoke. How many have ever seen a Bible verse that says, do not smoke? However, there is a Bible principle that says that you are to be careful with the body God has entrusted to you. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we are to take care of it. This is why the Bible is timeless in its teaching. No matter what century you are living in, no matter what country you are living in, no matter what culture surrounds you, God's Word sets important boundaries in the form of biblical principles that guide you in glorifying God in the choices you make. Whether it be major choices like choosing a career, choosing a spouse, choosing where to live, and choosing what church to attend and join, or whether it be small choices like what music you listen to or play, what entertainment you watch and how much time you allow for it each week, what clothes you wear, what places you frequent, and the list goes on. Yes, these choices I just listed for you might look radically different from what Christians did 200 years ago, or even just 50 years ago. But if biblical principles were followed each time, then each time you made a choice recently, or other Christians made choices 200 years ago, God would have been glorified each time. For instance, even though clothing styles in different cultures and different centuries would look radically different from what you and I wear today, if we follow the biblical principle of modesty as it is understood in each culture and each century, then we have not moved the biblical ancient boundary that God sets in His Word, namely modesty. I think that you can see how to apply this to every biblical principle that affects every area of our lives. So getting back to Proverbs 22, verse 28, don't move the ancient boundary. Not caring about the ancient boundary leads to ignoring it and even moving it. Moving the marker away from its God-given position leaves you in charge instead of God. Godly standards and habits are redefined and rationalized away. There is no anchor. The marker, in effect, moves with you. Let me give you an example. When I was in my teenage years, okay, that'd be about 48 to 53 years ago, I often heard preachers say that the majority of Christian churches seem to keep about 10 years behind the world's standards, habits, and thinking. Whatever level of sensual music, entertainment, immodest dress, or other area of permissiveness the world sank to, the churches would sink to that lowered standard about 10 years later. I would have to say that today, as a result of that failure to keep the ancient boundaries, the majority of Christian churches today show very little, if any, difference from the world at all. What a tragedy. So don't forget the old paths, don't move the ancient boundaries, and thirdly, don't rebel against God's will. Notice that in our text, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the verse ends with a tragic statement about the heart condition of the people of Israel. But they said, we will not walk in it. That is, the ancient paths. Forgetting the old paths and moving the ancient boundary markers will eventually so corrupt your thinking that after a while you will look at God's ways and God's will as totally unreasonable and undesirable. You will say, just as these Israelites did in Jeremiah 6:16 concerning walking in the path of God's will, I won't do it. I'll do what I think is right. Don't forget what God said in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I hope you've understood the danger of straying from the old paths and moving the old boundaries. Let's consider then the safeguards for staying on the old path. I think we can summarize them with three R's. I love alliteration, and alliteration kind of helps you remember the outline. So three R's, and the word starts with remember, the next one starts with request, and the third one starts with return. So you can see where we are when we get to these three words. Remember. First of all, remember the former things. Isaiah 46, verse 9 says this, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. How do you remember the former things? First of all, dig into the Word of God and discover God's ways and God's thoughts. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that is, to reverence your name. Secondly, after discovering God's ways and thoughts, which can enable you to formulate godly principles, then review regularly the truths and commands and promises of God's word. You can never know it too well or review it too often, as the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. By the way, let me just pause here to encourage you as we look forward to a new year tomorrow. Hard to believe that tomorrow starts yes. January 1st. But listen, if you are to spend time in God's word, that means you have to read it. Does that make sense? That's kind of deep, isn't it? Okay? If you are going to learn the truths of God's word, learn his ways, learn his thoughts, that means you have to read it. And I encourage you, in fact, I urge you strongly to make a commitment today to begin tomorrow to read God's word regularly. You know that every year I encourage you to read through the Bible in 1 year. How many of you have done that before? You've read through the Bible in 1 year. Okay. I think I've done that, dozens of times. And it has always been a blessing. It has always been a help. The reason I encourage you to do it all in 1 year is because then you get everything God said in 1 year's time. You have packed his word into your mind, into your heart. And you will start to see the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll see where the New Testament is quoting from the Old Testament. And of course, you have the New American Standard Bible, which puts the quotations from before in all capital letters. So you can see right away, this is quoting the Old Testament usually, or perhaps sometimes earlier in the New Testament. Listen, all right, that seems like a huge challenge to you, but it is only 23 chapters a week. That means it's 3 chapters a day, and then on Saturday and Sunday, you read 4 chapters a day. And you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. I like to take one of those Bible charts on the back table that you're free to take if you want. And there's a little box with every chapter in the Bible, and all these little boxes. You can cross off that box whenever you finish reading that chapter. And I encourage you to do that. And that'll help you keep track of where you are and what you've read so far. I like to do that because I like to read a little from the Old Testament, a little from the Psalms and Proverbs, and a little from the New Testament each day. Get a varied diet of God's Word. You may say, well, you know, I just don't think I can read that fast. Or I'm trying to read it in another language right now. I am finishing up reading the Bible in Spanish. And it takes longer because I want to make sure I'm getting what it says. I'm understanding what it says. And you may be doing that as well. Oh, listen, I encourage you to take one of those charts at the back. And if you don't think you can read it all in 1 year, then make it a 2-year project. And that will cut it by half. And you can do it. You can do it. I encourage you to do that. But just commit yourself to read God's Word all the way through. Oh, listen, I'm just like you. I would prefer to read Philippians rather than Leviticus. You know, some places in the Bible just are boring to my flesh. Okay, and I prefer to find something that really gives me that boost, you know, that I need. Oh, listen, every part of God's Word is important. And I encourage you to read through the Bible in a year. I won't ask you to raise your hands that you're committing to do it, but I encourage you in your heart, seriously, to commit to reading through the Bible in 1 year or 2 years, whatever the Lord shows you. So the first safeguard for staying on the old paths is to remember the former things. In other words, what God has taught in His Word, the Bible. The second safeguard is to ask for the ancient paths. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and request the ancient paths where the good way is." It's your responsibility to make sure you are on the right path. Keep asking the Lord regularly to make you aware of any tendency you have to stray off the right path. This is a request that is completely in accord with God's will, so you can be sure He will grant you this request, because we are assured in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. By the way, this word "hear" translates a Greek word that means hear and grant that request. What a blessing. Let me illustrate this way. If the wheels on your car are out of alignment, they will cause your vehicle to tend to drift either to the left or to the right, instead of responding easily to the slightest touch of your hand on the steering wheel. I'll do this every once in a while when I'm driving on the highway. I'll just take my hands off the wheel. Okay, not very far away, all right, but I take my hands off the wheel. And I see, is it starting to stray to the left, or is it starting to stray to the right? Then I know, my wheels are out of alignment. I better get that checked out. If they're in alignment, you should be able to stay right straight on the highway without any variation. So, same thing with God's Word. Oh, listen, make sure you request that you stay on the right path. Ask God for His grace to answer that prayer. So remember the former things, request the ancient paths, and thirdly, return to and walk in the good way again. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 again, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." As soon as you realize you've strayed off the right path of obedience to God's Word, you need to return to the right path. and start walking in it again. This is a decision of your will. It's a commitment of your heart, carried out by depending on the grace, the enablement that God has assured us is always abundantly available to those who ask for it and count on Him to give it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace, enablement, to help in time of need." What's very interesting here in this verse is that approaching God in prayer is referred to as drawing near to the throne of grace, the throne of grace. By its very name, God is assuring you that He is more than ready to grant His grace, His enablement to you. All you have to do is ask Him for it. Our text, Jeremiah 6:16, ends in the promise, "which I leave with you today, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you truly have rest in your soul? If not, why don't you take care of it today? As you begin a new year, resolve never to forget God's ways, never to move the ancient boundaries of His standards and His ways. Remember the old paths laid out so faithfully in God's Word. Return and walk in that good way. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? In a few minutes, I'll close this message with prayer, but before that, would you allow the Holy Spirit to apply His Word to your heart? Have you strayed from the old path, the path of obedience to God's commands and God's instructions, God's ways? Have you been seduced by the new paths, the new ways that are not in line with God's Word? Have you moved the ancient boundaries, the biblical boundaries God has set for you in every area of your life, in order to protect you spiritually? Have you been rationalizing away this moving of boundaries and standards in your life because others are doing it? The Holy Spirit is pointing this out in your heart right now. Would you confess that to Him and ask Him for His enablement to get back to the old path and reinstate the biblical boundaries? The Lord is speaking to your heart about this matter. Would you respond to Him right now in your heart? Perhaps the Holy Spirit is showing you that you need to come to Christ for salvation. Maybe you considered yourself a good person and did not need to repent and trust Christ alone to save you from your sin and its eternal penalty. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but the Lord Jesus pointed out to him that he too needed to be born again. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we read, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again.'" Will you choose to agree with the Lord Jesus that you need to be born again? In other words, you need to be born spiritually into God's family by faith in Christ. And will you choose to agree with God in what He has written in Romans 3:23? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." fallen short of God's perfection. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And we know that this is not just physical death, but the second death spoken of in Revelation chapter 20 and 21, the lake of fire. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, listen, the Lord Jesus died on the cross, paid for your sin, if you will trust him as Savior. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you not only agree with God concerning what he says about your sin and your need for salvation, but will you also obey his command to repent and trust in Christ alone to save you? Romans 10, verses 9 through 13 tell us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you want to make sure of salvation once and for all, would you allow me to help you by taking the Bible and walking you through God's plan of salvation? If so, would you let me know by raising your hand so that I can pray for you? If you're listening to this on Zoom or later on our website, would you contact me so that I can help you come to Christ? And after you trust Christ to save you from sin and hell, then it would be my joy to help you grow in Christ. Christian, are you growing in Christ? You need to commit to do that, and you need to be in God's Word every day. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have shown us from your word this morning. Lord, we're excited about new beginnings, new year, new start, new things to look forward to. But Lord, may we never forget the ancient paths. May we never forget the historical, recognized boundaries that you have placed in our lives to protect us spiritually. Lord, I pray that we would leave here today with the important thought that we need to return to your path, your boundaries. Even though so many are moving boundaries, so many are redirecting paths away from your word, away from obedience to your word. Lord, I pray that you would fill every heart here with a desire and commitment to stay on the right path, the old paths, to not move the ancient boundaries, not move your commands, the principles that we can learn from your word that help us, no matter what century we live in, no matter what culture we find ourselves in, no matter what else may be around us, Lord, may we make sure that we're following your word and making sure that we are formulating biblical principles by which to live, by which to make choices that would glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have put in our hearts when we trusted you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that enables us to obey you and glorify you in everything we do. As your word says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, may we do all for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.